This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
You are listening to The Morning Run with Shazana Shaoning and Chen Li. Let's get a quick update on how the bursa is looking like as we come up to 9:20 a.m. this morning.
Well, we say goodbye to 1600 because the FBM KLCI currently is only up 0.5%. Index is now 1598. In fact, in the region, some markets are turning red. Singapore is one of them. It is currently down 0.06%.
Okay, and we're turning our attention now to the Chinese markets, which did see a rather substantial fall overnight. In March this year, policymakers attempted to reassure investors that it would adopt a do-all-it-takes approach towards equities by adopting market-friendly policies that support the economy and boost capital markets. This brought much-needed relief to Chinese equity markets, which recovered somewhat from earlier losses.
But all these promises appear to be forgotten after the Chinese equity markets took a tumble yesterday with a sharp decline, the lowest in 2 years. As a result, the CSI 300 has declined by 22% on a year-to-date basis, making it one of the worst-performing indices in Asia, only surpassed by the Shenzhen Composite Index and the Sri Lanka Bourse.
So to find out why the Chinese equity markets have taken such a tumble, we turn to Brock Silvers, Managing Director at Kaiyuan Capital. Brock, good morning. Thank you very much for joining us. The broad gauge of Chinese stocks, the CSI 300, fell 5%, the most since February 2020, and it erased all gains made by Chinese officials when they pledged to support the economy earlier last month. How much of this is driven by the current wave of COVID-19 cases, the lockdown, and the determination to maintain the COVID zero strategy?
Of course, zero COVID is having a real negative effect on the economy and the markets. You know, Shanghai is the economic capital of China, and it's been locked down for perhaps a couple of months, and now it may be Beijing's turn. Economies don't come with a simple on-off switch. They operate to a large degree on momentum and inertia, but leadership has decided that there are other priorities that are higher than economics right now. But look, beyond COVID, the economy is not doing well. There are plenty of red flags. Even if we could magically erase zero COVID, I think the markets would still be reflecting weakness. It's not all COVID. The government stepped in to a particularly harsh market downturn a couple of weeks ago and tried to boost sentiment. Liu He, maybe the most respected economic official in the country, made a lot of noise about government support, and the markets rallied. At the time, I very publicly called for investors to use that rally as an exit opportunity. Liu He didn't really promise anything specific. He was just mouthing platitudes. Drowning investors thought that was a life preserver, but the follow-on has been anemic, and now the markets continue to get battered.
So then what is your investment strategy that you advocate, Brock? I mean, how much lower can the Chinese market go? If you look at it on a year-to-date basis, it's down almost 20%.
Right. Look, the markets have not been good recently, but unfortunately, I still see a bit of downside. You know, China hasn't really begun to deal with its slowdown, and the U.S. may be heading into one. Rising U.S. rates, I think, are going to hurt. And basic questions over China's investability are still ongoing. I think this makes Chinese equities particularly unattractive for the moment. And in the fixed income markets, I think they're treacherous, but you still might be able to find some value there.
Let's talk about yuan. The onshore yuan has also slumped to its lowest level in 17 months on concerns about rising capital outflows. Do you see this trend continuing, and will it actually drive more outflows?
I think it should continue. Look, not only is the economy looking a bit sluggish, U.S. rates are rising and China's going in the other direction. That, I think, should be a significant pull on capital. But there's something else happening here, I think. You know, for the first time in decades, we're seeing global investment outflows from China in a significant way. And I think Beijing should be quick to move to address those underlying concerns. And investors are just increasingly worried about investability. Given a sluggish economy, dangerous regulatory riptides that are ongoing, global interest rate movements, and geopolitical risks, you know, China's appeal and the yuan's appeal are just no longer a sure thing.
So given the economic environment, Brock, does it seem that the GDP target of 5.5% for China by the government is achievable?
I think we can wave goodbye to 5.5%. But look, China's economic forecasting has the greatest track record in the history of econometrics. Amazingly, these guys are just never wrong. In this case, it really depends on how much they're willing to stretch the data. But even with a bunch of new creativity, 5.5% is I think, just not doable. And I think the government will eventually concede this point, as they have a very reasonable cause for this shortfall in the COVID situation.
But I'm curious, Brock, I mean, if you look at the Chinese economy, yes, I see your perspective that there are weak points, but it's also still the second world's largest economy. Is it not time to perhaps bottom fish and consider some sectors?
The China story in general remains as attractive as it ever has been. But I don't think it's time to be bottom fishing in China just yet. There's just too much instability and fundamental risk still in the market. You know, investors are just finding it difficult to buy shares when companies have recently been forced into billion-dollar donations or business models have been banned overnight. That makes it complicated. Now, the sun is going to rise again, I guarantee it, but I just don't think it's going to happen just yet. And my recommendation is, look, I'd say stay liquid until we get some regulatory stability and start to see some more concrete plans to deal with the downturn.
So there's not a single sector that you would actually consider at this moment that you think is worth at least keeping an eye on?
My baseline is I think it's better to stay liquid with regard to China unless there's some sort of a special situation that can change my mind.
Brock, thanks very much for speaking to us. That was Brock Silvers, Managing Director at Kaiyuan Capital, giving us his thoughts on how we should allocate our assets in Chinese equities, taking a much more cautious tone than Joe Quinlan, the commentator that we spoke to earlier.
Yeah, so, you know, there's always a glass half full and then there's always a glass half empty when it comes to any market. But I am seeing some headlines coming out of Bloomberg, and that is basically China is trying to curb the plunge in the yen by reducing the amount of money that banks need to have in their reserve for their foreign currency holdings. So this could perhaps help stem some of the outflows and keep the money in the stock market. And even if we look at overnight, the Nasdaq Golden Dragon Index managed to rally a little bit yesterday evening from a 4% loss to post a gain on Monday in the US. So we'll be watching the Chinese stock market very closely when it opens later on this morning.
And I was also looking at Brock's comment on GDP. So 5.5% seems to be something that we need to wave goodbye to. I think last quarter it was 4.8%. And some analysts actually forecast that it may be a 3 handle for the whole entire year GDP. So it's going to be that much of a decrease in terms of GDP growth.
When we think of how the lockdowns are progressing in Shanghai and now in Beijing, there are concerns that there might be lockdowns there as well. I guess it does seem very unlikely that 5.5% can be reached. But hey, we're only in the second quarter. Who knows what miracles China can stage in the second half of the year. We will watch this for sure. Stay tuned to BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.